Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Again, it's Tuesday, July 6th. Man, we're halfway through this year, past halfway through this year. You know, and God has allowed me again to be with you all for an hour. I'm excited about this. So before I go into what we're going to really just talk about tonight and get you prepared for some stuff, for some things to come, let's have a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. God, we appreciate you. Lord, we glorify you. Father, like this is not like any other day, any other broadcast, or any other thing that could be happening or taking place in this area, in this time. Father, only that you have your hand on it. And God, I thank you, oh God, for being the messenger, Father, as we prepare to go before your people, oh God, the listeners, oh God, that they may hear exactly, Father, what you have given me to give unto them. Father, bless your word tonight, oh God. Bless the ears to hear. Those that are willing to hear it, kind to obey it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, I'm grateful tonight. This is a special topic for me, and it's been something that has been in the forefront before me for years. And sometimes we kind of stay away from certain things that God has given us to do out of fear of not being qualified or not meeting man's standard or not being able to see us in that manner by which we can do the things that we've seen other people do. And so tonight we're going to talk about leadership and very interesting topic, very interesting subject, leadership, in the manner by which we can see it from every aspect and from every avenue, I would say. What's interesting about this is that I want to discuss this, through a book that I was blessed to have been asked to read, over 15, 16 years ago, And some books are just going to be there for years. And for those that have been a part of anything I've taught, I don't use your traditional books. I can't use the self-help books because, it's really not driven in my aspect to allow you to see yourself. You actually see other people's success or you see other people's failures, and that becomes the thing that you look at. So, when you're following someone else's footsteps, you're often going to make their mistakes, and they tell you about their successes, but they don't tell you about their failures. So, but I want to take this book tonight. The name of the book is The Making of a Leader. The author of the book, and I'm telling you this because I really want you to get the book, is Frank DiMaggio. And that's Frank as in F-R-A-N-K, last name DiMaggio, D-A-M-A-Z-I-O. Frank DiMaggio is the author of this book, Making of a Leader. And this is a powerful, powerful book. I can't say enough about it. And so I want you all to go on Amazon if you can, because we're going to be in this book for a little while. And if you're going to be a listener, I want you to be a participator because we all are leaders. And I don't want to get things mixed up between church leadership and leadership outside the church, but we all are leaders. And the difficulty is in leadership is, we don't really see ourselves leading people. We try to stay in the background and not be up front or out front, with our chest stuck out, saying that we are this or we are that. This topic is going to bring in, leadership principles, activities, character, thought process, you know, mostly from a religious perspective. So you're going to hear about the what we call the fivefold ministry, and that's the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And because we deal with some pieces in these areas of what I just named, what is known as the fivefold ministry, a lot of us feel rejected, not knowing that there's a specific call on our life to operate in one of those gifts. And I, you know, I like to know that, or like to tell people that, you know, those are the five governmental gifts, you know, that are in what we call the body of Christ, others call it the church. And when I say church, I'm not speaking of the building. I'm talking about a august body of believers, okay? I'm not talking about religious people. I'm talking about a group that only God can make you a part of and that you believe. So, so, you know, the making of a leader, you know, itself, the title within itself, you know, says a lot of things. You know, without saying it, one could say that leaders are made. You will hear the discussion, the leaders made, or are they born? You know, who makes the leader? God makes his leaders. You know, there's nothing a man can do within himself to make another individual a good leader. You know, there are principles of leadership. So, you know, but, you know, when we really talk about leaders, you know, we're talking about people that are servants. And I want to get that out. You know, the leaders that we see today are, most are not servants. They want to be served. You know, and some are going to listen to this and they're going to challenge what I'm saying, and there's nothing biblically that they can come back and say or challenge me on, because the only thing they can come back and use is tradition and religion. So leaders on every level concerning God should be servants. So I'm going to really talk tonight, but I really want you all to grab this book. You know, it's worth the money that you spend on it when you read it. You know, The Making of a Leader by Frank DiMaggio. So, you know, again, you know, leaders are servants on the highest level, and the highest position in the governmental gifts put you at the lowest position to serve. So, you know, there is no gift that God has given that elevates us one above the other. It really lowers us and humbles us that we can serve. And I won't be, you know, I'm using examples because I don't really want to go into the book. I'm going to do that next week. I really want people to buy the book. I'm not getting anything behind you buying the book. You get it on your own. I think this would be, again, instrumental to you as an individual because you are a leader. If you're listening to this broadcast, you are a leader. And so, being that every leader that God positions is a servant, we have not been taught that, because every time we see someone in the religious arena that holds a gift, you know, that they are looking to be served, and they're not looking to serve. You know, a servant, a minister in the gospel is really a servant of God. And the way we serve the Lord in the ministry is that God gives us people that we can help or assist or serve, right? And we serve him through them. So he positions these people with us that we can do whatever he has asked of us to do. And as we obey him, whatever he's asked to do with these people, we're serving God. Now, the interesting piece in here is understanding that without people, we cannot serve God. Without people, there is no way that we can be of service unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to make that clear now. So it's not to become an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, not to become those that we gather a whole bunch of people together that they may listen to us, right, and that they would give money to support our lifestyle. That is not what I'm speaking of. That's man's way of serving. What I'm saying is that God gives you something to do. It could be for one individual or for multiple individuals. And when we're doing that out of obedience, we're serving him. So he gives us a platform. He gives us a people. And he gives us an understanding of their need. But we have to, as leaders, we have to hear from the Lord tell us what we should be doing. That is what we have to do. Without that, it is impossible to serve the Lord. I want y'all to hear me now. Without people now, we cannot be useful unto the Lord. So everybody, even me, those that are listening, have a need, have something that we have a need of from the Lord. We need assistance with something, we need help with something, we need advice, we need counsel, we need wisdom, there needs to be some understanding. We have all of these things that we need of the Lord. And needing that of God, right, oftentimes people have not found the avenue that they can speak to the Lord. And so he gives us the ability, he gives us the ministry, the service, that we can help them understand what he is wants from them or pointing them to, by giving them what God has given us. So now what's important in that is that a leader must have the ability to now hear from God. You all have to understand that. Having a master's degree, a doctoral degree in theology does not mean that you hear from God. Doesn't mean that. Having any type of degree or multiple degrees may do something for you with man. It does nothing for you with God. And so that leader must have a covenant with God that he or she can hear from God. Because without hearing from the Lord, without having that covenant with God, that God has sought them out to establish, it is impossible now for this leader to do what God is asking of them for his people. Now, I want to clarify this now. It is not important for the leader to hear the crowd of people now. That's the last thing that they should be doing. When Moses listened to the cry of the people, he gave the people what they want, but it wasn't what God wanted to have. And so as a servant to the people that God sends you, you have to hear from the Lord, which means that covenant you got with God, has the key to unlock the hearing in your spirit. And that covenant unlocks that key to your spirit, that your spirit is now communicating consistently with God for multiple reasons. Number one, you have to hear from God for yourself. You have to hear from God for your family. And you got to hear from God for your people, for his people. Let me correct that. Not your people, but for his people. So you have three areas. Yourself, you have to hear from God. For your family, you have to hear from God. And for God's people, you have to hear from him. You cannot arbitrarily just go and do things, and we do, without hearing from God. Because if we don't hear from the Lord, you know, or let me say this, and my big mama and my dad used to tell us all the time, if a man or woman cannot hear from God, they cannot obey God. And now, what kind of spiritual leader is leading people and never hearing from God? That's crazy, man. I just want you all to think about that. Now, we're talking about spiritual leadership, and I'm leading you up to where we go into this book, The Making of a Leader by Frank DiMaggio. We'll get into it next week, but I'm laying the groundwork because I really want you to grab a hold of what it means to lead. And the greatest, again, the greatest principle that a leader has to have is, number one, a covenant with God. Not a relationship now. I'm not talking about a relationship. You got to have a covenant with God. Because you are a leader, that means that you could not establish it with God. Only God could seek you out and establish this covenant with you. Now, that covenant comes that God can help you understand the power of the gift that he has given you, be it if it's the governmental gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher, you know, the governmental gifts, or it could be other gifts in which in the book that Frank DiMaggio writes gives us a gamut of different gifts that is operating within the body of Christ, right? And so it doesn't mean that you have to be an apostle, be a prophet, be an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, but there are other gifts. And in these gifts now that God lays out for us, he wants us to use these gifts for him, right, to glorify him. People that he sends to us can be served. I want you to grab that now. So that's the first principle. God must have sought you out to establish his covenant with you and empower you to operate within the gift that or gifts that he has given you. So this is a huge discussion now. It's just not something we can go over and just leave it there. So what makes this important? This is important because of there's a leadership vacuum coming because the people that we have leaned on for years to hear from God for us is getting ready to be moved. Y'all got to hear me now. And oftentimes when God moves a leader, there's a cry real loud about what are we going to do now that the pastor is gone. And if that is your response to God calling his own home, then your eyes were never on Jesus. Your eyes were on the pastor. So that says now that it says that the pastor didn't point you to Jesus, but as a leader, it is our responsibility to point you to Jesus and not to ourselves. So, you know, when we point you to ourselves, we are building our own kingdom. We are not building the kingdom of God. I'm going to say it again. When the pastor is pointing you towards themselves, he or she is pointing you towards themselves, they are not building the kingdom of God because they never can. They're building their own kingdom. You see, God never asked man to build his kingdom. It's the other thing within this. Because man doesn't have the wisdom to build the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has already been constructed and built. What we can do as leaders, as we point people to Jesus, he makes them a part of the kingdom that he has already built. So I have to make this clear now, because you're going to find in this in the weeks to come that a lot of things that are said in the religious realm are just, they're just talking. Because, you know, anybody that tells you you're a kingdom builder don't understand that there's not a man alive that can build the kingdom of God. And when you, and I'm not trying to tell you to go out here and correct someone when they say that, but I'm trying to give you good insight, because if you're standing on the outside looking in and you're saying that there's no way you can be a part of such a thing, then you're wrong. Because God never chose perfect people to lead imperfect people. He chose imperfect people that are willing to be transparent, that God can establish a covenant with, that will hear from him and obey him. And those are not perfect people, because they have issues. They have some serious issues. I heard someone say that, and they were just talking. I know they was talking about a pastor that got into some trouble and said that, you know, the leaders should be sat down. Now, there is no biblical precedence or principle that has been given that will sit a leader down for messing up. There's nothing. I've never read anything, and you can go from Genesis to Revelations, or you can choose the writings out of the lost books, and I've never seen a leader sat down. Because everywhere I look, the people that God chose, even after he chose them, even after he established a covenant with them, they messed up. But he never sat them down. He continued to use them, right? That's from the Old Testament to the New. Not one time did he set someone down. Now, it has become the principles of man to judge you, and because you say you walk or work for the Lord, or you walking with the Lord or something of that nature, that you should be perfect, right? Now, in the outside of other people, they may not see you do anything wrong. But the truth of the matter is, you got skeletons in your closet, and if someone would ever find out, you would be embarrassed. So some leaders, you know, want you to focus on other people's faults and their failures and not tell you about theirs. I am about as transparent can be, you know, and sometimes, you know, I'm honest to a fault, because it's important as a leader that you be touchable to people, and that in being able to touch them, you know, you have the ability to be transparent, and that they see the human in you and not like you're Jesus walking on water. All right? So Moses had issues, you know, Moses did some things that angered God. God punished him, but he still used him. You know, we talk about Abraham. We talk about his son, Isaac. We talk about Jacob. You know, we go up and down about some things that we should not do, a leader should not do. And at the end of the day, if we really took a hard look at the men and the women that God used, all of them have some moral failures. Every last one of them had moral failures. So, you know, now what's interesting is that we don't look at their moral failures, and we don't question why did God use them. We question the people that God has chosen that can't speak eloquently, that don't have doctoral degrees, but yet all day, every day, we want them to be more perfect than Jesus. And there is no perfect man that Jesus can use. Because if you're perfect, you know, what can God use you to do? Think about that. If you are perfect, what can God use you to do? That's why he needs imperfect people to perfect the people that he is using and dealing with on a consistent basis. Jesus uses imperfect people to perfect imperfect people. I know that sounds crazy to you, but that's the truth of the matter. Every man that puts on the clergy collar or the suit or the robe that stands in the pulpit, you know, every man, I'm including women in that too, these are not perfect people. They're not. You know, they try very, very hard. But the reason why they're here is because they're imperfect. God still has to work some things out in them. You know, we talk about transparency. You know, I'm one that, I don't mind telling you about me. I watch people suffer for years trying to keep secrets, you know, and they don't want nobody to know what they did, how they did it, why they did it, you know, or anything of that nature. And so when somebody in their past walk up to them, you know, they get nervous that they're going to release a secret about them. So I tell mine, I don't care what you think about me. I'm going to tell you, you know, exactly what I've done. You know, I've been married 3 times. You know, my first marriage, I acted a plumb fool. I was a womanizer. You know, I took a country girl from a small city in Georgia into a big city, and you know, I put the H-O in the word ho. That's where I acted. You know, if a woman, if she looked good and she was moving and I was in the military, I got a uniform on, I'm physically fit, all the rest, all that good stuff. No, I look good. I was after them all. You know, that's where I acted in my first match. So somebody, you know, they would tell you, man, I remember this guy when he was married to his third wife and he was a hoe. Believe him. You know, if it was a woman, I was after it. I remember an uncle of mine saying this, and I was recruiting during the time period, and I had a uniform on. I went to this event, and I stood up in front of everybody, you know, giving us an award, probably about 500 or 600 people in there, giving an award to a few kids out of the high school, you know, because I was recruiting, had caps on my shoes, dressed to the nine, you know. I mean, I had that military uniform on. And so my uncle was there, and he, you know, he just happened to have a position in the city as well. And, you know I surprised him, you know. You know, a woman walked up to him and asked him, well, who's that young man? He said, that's my nephew. You know, and he said, they asked him, was I married? And said, if you ask him, he's going to tell you he ain't, you know, but he is. And so, but that just shows you how much of a, how hoish I was, and I paid for it. Now, trust me now, I really paid for all that foolishness I did, you know, and that was me in my first marriage. Now, they tell you about that in my second marriage, they're lying to you. I didn't do that. You know, I mean, I love that woman. You know, worship the ground she walked on. May not have made all the right decisions, but, you know, there were some things that I struggled with in it, you know, in that nature. And so it wasn't with, it was just me and my past and some things I went through as a kid, you know, wasn't molested or anything of that nature. So, but it's just something that I struggled with. And as much as I talked about it, I discovered the other day that, you know, people never listen. And so it just got a little frustrating. But I'm transparent enough to tell you that, you know, it took me years to seek out help of dealing with being rejected. It took years for me. Matter of fact, it was November two years ago, 2019. I went to a retreat, in the ministry, serving the Lord, went to a retreat to be delivered. And that thing changed my life. I owe so much credit to the people at Bear Creek. And let me tell you, if you are serving the Lord and you think you don't need to be delivered from something, you're tricking yourself. You're really tricking yourself, you know. But as a leader, you have to confront your own situations and be transparent enough to say that this is a fight and it's a battle, but I'm giving it to the Lord. You have to be willing to do that as you stand before God's people. Now, I'm just making this very, very clear, making it as transparent as I possibly can. The thing that I love the most about leadership is that it is quite the opposite of what people make it out to be. Some folks look at pastors and leaders as you've got to be able to speak well. You know, that wasn't Moses' situation. You have to be able to eloquently tell people and be rehearsive of what the Bible says. But, you know, none of the people that God chose could rehearse anything. They remember because it was the nature or the custom of the Hebrew people to keep in front of the generations that were coming after them, the things that they had went through, and the situations that God had dealt with them as a people, and so all of them knew those situations. So it was, they didn't have to remember Genesis through Revelations. Genesis hadn't been written; they had the books of the law. You know, but they had the Torah, you know, but they didn't have this thing that we call the Bible. What I love about a real leader, he doesn't have to quote biblical texts to talk to you. He just should, or he or she just should be able to have a legitimate conversation with you. First, just by listening. Another book that I love, a writer that I love, I've grown to love, is Paul Tillich. And Paul Tillich says this, and I quote, "The first duty of love is to listen." So if you are a leader, you know, transparency is important, but listening is much more important than anything, because you have to hear from God. And it's important that you hear the people, but not do what the people want you to do. You know, I'm going to say this again now. It's good to hear from the people, but the one that you want to obey is God. People will set leaders up to fail every day, all day. I'm going to say that again. People will set leaders up to fail. If you don't preach what they want you to preach, if you don't say what they want you to say, then they don't want to have anything to do with you. But the first time that you give the people something that they're crying for, they will never show up for it. And God won't tell you not to do it, but he will teach you a lesson that the person that you should be listening to is him. As a leader, you should be hearing from the Lord. Now, I know I haven't went into biblical text really, because I'm really laying a foundation for the book you know, that Frank DiMaggio wrote, The Making of a Leader, because the depth of this book is to take everything at its beginning foundation and separate what is fiction versus what is true. Because in the present-day religious church, there's a lot of fiction or falsehoods and not a lot of truth. We create sayings. We create things that they should do. But it's nothing that God had ordained to be happening today. And I want to be clear about that, because I can walk through the traditions of any church, Pentecostal, Apostolic, Baptist, Southern Baptist, Methodist, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, Jehovah's Witness, and you're really, they really operate based upon tradition, but not something that God said. And I'm gonna make this point, because there's nowhere is it biblically written that there should be a separation in religious beliefs among the church, the body of Christ. Nowhere. We accept this, though, in our culture, because nobody wants to tell someone what they should or should not believe. But at the end of the day, if the people are not hearing from God, they're going to believe anything. That's just the truth. But it doesn't mean that we should treat them any less because of what they believe. The only way they're going to see the truth is that they see the truth coming out of you, out of me. Absence of the truth is where we begin to fail. Absence of the truth is where we begin to fail. And we fail miserably because, you know, we're doing things that God never ordained that we do. And so this is the thing I love about Frank DiMaggio, because he now really attacks the religion and wants to shed light on what God is asking of you to do. But one of the greatest things that we find, and this is people that, you know, some folks don't go to church, they won't have anything to do with church, is because of church people, not because of God. You know, they separate themselves from walking into the building because of the people that are there that say they love God, but treat everybody else like the devil. That's true. So when we operate absence of the truth, we create an atmosphere of a stumbling block for everyone else that would want to know who God is. We create that stumbling block. We come up with all of these things that a person should do before they know who God is. At least that's what we tell them, you know. And the only way you know who God is that you have something that causes you to deal with God. And when you deal with God, the Lord reveals unto you what he requires of you and how he wants you to do it. And so anytime God engages you, there is leadership in you, because you're going to lead somebody somewhere. It doesn't matter to me if you're helping people, you're leading them because you're serving. Every leader should be a servant. And I went full circle on this. Every leader should be a servant. Just because you're a leader doesn't mean that you're going to prophesy, don't mean you're a pastor, don't mean that you're a teacher, doesn't mean any of that. It doesn't. You know, whatever the gift is that God has in you, he'll reveal it to you. Matter of fact, he revealed it to some of you all now. There are plenty of you all that are listening right here today that struggle with the present day way of how people disseminate or show what church is. And because of that, there are some things that you just won't do. You know, if somebody asks you to stand in front of people, I'm not doing that. You know, you're not the wrong person. You know, somebody asks you to deliver a word, I'm not a preacher. I'm not delivering a word. And so, you know, and sometimes you cut yourself from the thing that God is trying to help you with. Because any preacher will tell you that is sincere about what God is saying to them is that when you study his word, it hits you first as a leader. It comes at you first. It does not hit anybody else because the message has to come to you before you give it to anybody else. It got to come to you. Husbands are leaders. Wives are leaders. Children are leaders. You know, your brother, your sisters, they're leaders. Deacons are leaders. You know, ushers are leaders. And school teachers are leaders. Business owners are leaders. You know, I'm one of the ones that believe that a business owner is another name for a pastor. Because a real business owner that has employees has more influence on those people than the church that they go to. If a man has 1,000 people that work for him and a pastor has 1,000 people attending the church, who has the greatest influence? The business owner does. Because he has them for at least 40 hours a week. And if he has salary people, he got at least for 50 to 60 hours a week. You know, the pastor has those leaders, you know, in the church, regardless of what position that they have, he has probably about the max, probably 4 to 6 hours a week. And if it interferes with their job, you know, they try to handle the job because that's how they take care of their family. You know, the business owner gives them vacation, holiday pay, vacation pay, benefits, health insurance, dental, vision. Business owner gives them a paycheck to which they can pay their bills. You know, now that paycheck, if they're tithers, they give 10% to the church. The business owners, they're making a profit, you know. And so the pastor is trying to live off the money that the people give if he don't have a job himself or herself, you know. But for 5 days, sometimes 6 days a week, that business owner has the attention of that individual. And in mere passing conversations, may one or two of those people sometimes go to the same church and talk about the message. But the majority of the people that are working in this business don't go to the same church, but they work at the same place. That's interesting, ain't it? Which means that we have not figured out as leaders what God is doing. And we keep going to this old traditional stuff that consistently does not work. So, you know, this tonight has really just been laying the foundation, because before I go into the book, The Making of a Leader, I really want you all to get the book and start reading. You know, I want you to get it and start reading. You have the greatest opportunity, you know, to allow God to seek you out to establish a covenant with you. Let me say this, and I'm going to say it very loudly and very clearly. I want everybody to hear me. I want you to hear me. You don't have to be saved before God comes to you and establishes a covenant. Sometimes God will come to you to establish a covenant because he's getting ready to deliver you. He doesn't go through all this stuff like we do. He doesn't care about where you are, what you're doing. When he wants you, he's going to come and tap you on your shoulder, so to speak, you know, metaphorically. I hope if he tap you on the shoulder and you feel it, you better answer. But he can accost you in the middle of doing something crazy, wrong, and evil and ask you, like he did Paul. Paul wasn't saved. Paul was on his way to go kill a bunch of believers. And he ran into Jesus on his way to do something crazy. Think about that now. So a lot of things we do, we make it difficult for people to receive who Jesus really is, because we want them to be cleaned up. We want them to be thinking right. We want them to be completely saved and the alcohol out of the taste out of their mouth, no smoking, no drugs, no drinking, no sexual, and all these things to be considered wrong. But, you know, Jesus didn't send them to all of that. Just when he wanted them, he approached them. He approached them, and they changed because they wanted what she had to offer them. So Frank DiMaggio takes this thing to another level, and he begins to discuss how we have made it difficult for folks to be real, to hurt, to feel the hurt, and then to allow God to deliver them. We have made it difficult for them. So, you know, the truth in this matter, this is a very powerful book. Again, I'm going to repeat it. The name of the book is The Making of a Leader, and pretty much I set the foundation for you that you can begin to order this book on Amazon. You know, Frank DiMaggio, D-A-M-A-Z-I-O, is the writer of this book. You know, it is life-changing for those, you know, that would really want to see leadership in the manner by which God wants you to see it. And if you see leadership the way God wants you to see it, it's not necessarily about finding a big church or finding a small church or finding a building. You know, the principle deals with being able to go where God sends you, that the leader is hearing from God that will make things understandable to where God is using you. That's the thing I want to drive. Many of us I've run in contact with are people that God wants to use. And he's using some of you all. Some of you all are fighting back and don't want God to do that with you. You know, but I want you to see what God sees in you. I want you to understand what God sees in you. And when you can hear from him and follow him, it changes the whole trajectory of where you're going. It doesn't mean that you're going to see everything, but he illuminates your feet as you move and walk in that pathway. Doesn't let you walk in the dark. Your pathway will be lit for every step that you make. And for that reason, he's showing you how to lead his people by being a servant. A servant that is serving God through the people that God sends their way. In so many words, there's a people out here right now that need you. If you're listening, there's a people that need you. And not necessarily they need you to quote the Bible to them, you know, because I'm not really interested in hearing what God did for Paul. You know, it's good to hear that. It's good to read that. You know, I still have Bibles that I read, you know, and writings that I read. But what's most powerful, again, is that God was sent out to establish a covenant with you that you could hear from him. You know, what kind of God would you serve that you cannot hear from? And believe it or not, there are people blindly serving a God, but not the God. They can't even hear from that God, you know, but they follow him. This God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, wants to talk to you, and he wants you to hear him. You know, if a man or a woman cannot hear from God, they cannot obey God. Think about that. The Lord wants you to hear from him. It's okay to go to a building, a ministry, and hear a pastor talk or preach and get you motivated to get your instructions or something of that nature. You know, that's great. But the truth of the matter is that you are responsible for that. You're the one that needs to sit down that means to seek out and hear what God is trying to say to you. Once God establishes a covenant with you, you have to hear from him. If you're running from hearing from the Lord, if you're running from establishing a covenant with God, you can't run. No matter how old you get, whatever God wants from you, he's going to get it from you. So why buck? Why wrestle with it? Why? You are a leader. It's okay to say that. Never said you was a prophet, apostle, pastor, teacher, or evangelist. But you are a leader. You were sent here to serve. There is a number of people assigned to you in this life that you are to serve. And when you serve them, you're actually serving God, because you have to hear whatever the Lord wants you to do for them. And you have to first hear what God wants you to do to prepare yourself to be credible with them, or to be vulnerable with them, or to hear them, or to embrace them, or to love them, or to give them words of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, whatever that is. God is trying to use you to get that done. I want you to think about that now. Think about that real closely. Again, I didn't want to preach and stuff like that now. I really wanted to set the foundation for reading this book. I had the opportunity to buy some few books that I don't have anymore. You know, they're in someone's library. But, you know, going back and grabbing these books, you know, there's a man that I consider very dear to my heart, Apostle A.B. Henderson. You know, we was in a bookstore, my wife at the time and I, and ran into him there, and she picked this book up, and he showed it to me. And he said, buy this book only if the Lord should speak to you. If God don't talk to you, don't buy this book. And I didn't get the book because he wanted me to get the book. You know, little did he know, prior to that, I had hundreds of questions about leadership. Hundreds of questions. And by him being there and saying that, of all the leadership books that were on that table, that was on the shelf, this was the one. And I said, Lord, okay. And little did I know that it will peel back the onion on leadership. That blessed me. That completely blew my mind. And it changed really my life, because it caused me now to be responsible for having my ears open to hear from the Lord, and then the courage to obey God once he tells me what he wants done. Well, dear heart, I come to an end here. I hope and pray that you get the book. You know, if you really, you know, forget the name of the book, my email address is floydbusinesssolutions@gmail.com. Send me an email. I send you a picture of the book. And I want you to get this. I want you to follow along with me. I want you to buy the book. And because I believe you're going to keep this with you, even though we're going to talk a little, I think it's going to be half and half, church and the real world. Because even in the world that we live in, we have to hear from God as leaders. We have to hear from the Lord as leaders. Because if we don't, then we're just pushing people out of the way, or pushing people back, or keeping ourselves away from folks, because we are afraid of what's in us. And because we don't know there's a lack of truth, you know, it brings about a high level of failure. My big mama once told me something, and this stays with me, you know, to this very day. You know, I remember all her saying, man. I know sometimes she just want me to leave her alone, but, you know, she passed away almost 20 years ago. Next year will be 20 years. you know. She said this, and it stays with me. She says, never become successful at something that God never told you to do. Listen to that. Never become successful at something that God never told you to do. Because the day you become successful at that, you will leave what he asked of you undone. Think about that, dear heart. If you would, before we close, let's go into prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for every listening ear, all of the leaders that have called in and that are online listening right now or that will pull this broadcast up later on. I thank you, oh God, as we set the stage for something that you gave me. Because, God, we don't want to be successful at something as a leader that you never asked of us to do. Too many pastors were never pastors. They were evangelists. Too many prophets wasn't prophets, oh God. They were just teachers, oh God. We've walked out of the place that you wanted us in, and we've worked hard to be successful and to do those things, but these are not the things that you asked of us. God, my prayer tonight, Father, you have given me this platform, is that every ear that hears, see with their ears and listen with their eyes as I point them directly to you, because you are the ultimate leader. And you can show us, oh God, you can direct us, you can point us in the direction that we need to go in, that we can better serve you through the people that you send our way. We bless you, oh God. This is not a one-night subject, Father. Prepare us as we go through the weeks to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, dear hearts, would you all keep me in prayer? May 3rd, I had surgery on my left hip, and I was, last week on Monday, I was informed. Was it last week on Monday? No, it was last week. I was informed last week. I think it was Thursday or someday like that, that I will be having surgery on my right hip September the 8th, which is on a Wednesday. And so I'm excited about it because the first surgery got me up mobile, and the second surgery on my right hip is going to correct everything else. And we just believe in God to get rid of the chain and get rid of the pain, you know. So just you all have it in your heart. Just keep me in your prayers. It definitely, as we begin to go through this and study about leadership, because you, my friend, are a leader. God bless you now. Keep your loved ones in prayer. We want to keep people lifted up. it's still a trying time, still a difficult moment. I just want you all to know that we are praying for you. We're lifting you up before God. You are a leader. You are a leader. God bless you now. We love you all. Talk to you next Tuesday. Be ready. Get the book now. Frank DiMaggio, The Making of a Leader. God bless you.